God, thank you again that we have this time, that we can be here and be gathered together, and we can have your word open in front of us. And Father, I pray that as we have open Bibles in front of us, that also our hearts and our minds are open to hear from you, to hear your guidance and directives to us this morning. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to learn, and I pray that you'll help us to understand some of the changes that some of us need to make to become more faithful to you. I pray that you will help us to understand that in your kingdom, the emphasis is on humility and serving others and completely avoiding the types of attitudes and behaviors that serve ourselves. Father, help us to learn from Jesus, but not only to learn from him, but to also become more like him. And in so doing, Father, we'll become the people that you have called us to be. Thank you so much for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Have you ever gone to some kind of a dinner party where you felt like you were out of place? Like where you felt like either I don't really belong here, or you showed up to a dinner party and you thought they don't really belong here. And so you know, you might be the only one in that case, but you're saying, I think I'm here, there's 20 of us here, 19 of them don't belong. You know what I'm talking about? Or you just feel like I don't really belong here. You know, one time when I was in high school, I went to a high school called Riverside, and they were the school I went to was a district that you could have kind of gone either way, to one high school called Riverside or another one called Herman. And a few of us went to Riverside, and most of my class went to Herman, but those two schools had a pretty big rivalry. Sports, football, hockey, a lot of rivalry there, especially among those who were allowed to choose which one they wanted to go to. So one time, me and a friend went to hang out at this guy's house that we knew who had chosen to go to Herman, and we were at Riverside. So we went over to his house, and there were about 10 guys over to hang out, 8 of them from Herman, 2 of us from Riverside. We kind of felt like we didn't belong. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've experienced these things in high school or college. You're clearly out of place, and you feel like you don't belong. Perhaps worse than that, because that's something you can leave. You can slip out the side door. We didn't stay long at that event. We kind of surveyed what was going on, said, no, we made a choice, they made a choice, and we're going our own way now. But worse than that is when you go to a place and start second-guessing the other people who were there. Isn't that right? I mean, the nerve to start looking around saying, I don't think this person belongs here. I'm not happy they were invited. Sometimes at a birthday party, you ever been invited to a family birthday party and you get there and you start wondering why that part of the family was invited to the party? That's what I'm talking about. Because we need to be very careful, I think, from what Jesus is teaching us here. First thing, we need to be very careful not to view ourselves as better than others. And that happens a lot when we're looking around at other people. And it happens in families. Happens at like work functions. You look around and you think, well, I wonder why that guy got an award. I've done way better work than he has, and so on. And we start to see ourselves as better. We're better. Our family is better than this part of the family because. And we can rationalize that and justify that all we want, can't we? If you've done any of that, you know how to do that. We're better than they are because when mom really needed something, we came through and did that and they didn't. Or we're better than they are because they had to live in dad's basement for a while because he's lazy, or you know, whatever. And we rationalize things like that. Sadly, this kind of behavior happens even in the church. You know, in our Christian lives, may I suggest that one of the biggest dangers is that we have to be very careful not to look at other Christians and view ourselves as better than they are because of any number of reasons. We have a disease in some Christian circles that we have to be very careful of. And that disease is called the number one Christian award. You know, if we're not careful, we walk around putting this badge on ourselves where we either think of ourselves that way or in worst cases display ourselves to others in that way as though we are the number one Christian, top Christian. I'm the best. Because why? Because I attend more than other Christians do. Because I'm more involved in worship than other believers are. I know more about the Bible than these people do. I've been a member of that church longer than this person is. Now they're coming in with ideas that I just don't like, but I've been around longer. You know, I haven't sinned as badly as that person has. You know what I'm saying? We make these sorts of value judgments about people. We all do it from time to time, but for most of us, we make these value judgments about people, and then for most of us, we're able to dismiss them. They're not, you know, they're not that important. They're just momentary. They're not right, but just momentarily we think of that. But for some of us, we go too far with that, and it becomes a way that we're able to gauge ourselves against others and rank ourselves against others. Sorry if that was a little bit confusing, but the air is working properly. It's just, it feels warmer in here for whatever reason, but that it was working properly. But I turn it down and try to get some more in here. So let's get back to normal. Weird morning. Okay, but hopefully this will help with the air situation. We'll start to feel a little bit better in here. But back to speaking about like this number one Christian. This is one of the top reasons why people don't go to a particular church. You know, sometimes churches get reputations about this. And someone goes to visit, and then they say, I'm not going back there because I feel like I don't belong. Or I'm not going back there because I feel like they think they're better than I am. And so we have to be real careful of this. And I think that the top reasons why some of us feel like this, those of us who do feel superior to others, I think that the top reasons we do are because we do things like we attend better or more often. We have more knowledge. We haven't sinned as badly. Some of us don't think we've sinned at all, right? I mean, that's its own problem. You know, Melvin's laughing. It's true. Some of us think, I've never sinned a day in my life. And so the minute you start thinking like that, you better watch out that you're not walking around with one of these badges, the number one Christian. And so for those of us who haven't sinned a day in your life, I guess you can feel a little bit superior to others. I don't know about you guys. I sin enough. I know most of us do as well. There's a few of us that apparently are that rare breed. But the minute you start thinking that you're better than somebody else because you haven't sinned as often or you haven't sinned as badly as they have, you're on the wrong tracks. Because it's clearly, go back and read the Bible, it's clearly not about the types of sin you're involved in. It's the sin is the problem. The minute you find yourself in sin, you're in the same category the rest of us are. Thank God for Jesus, right? Because he cleans all of that up. And that's kind of the point at where he's going this morning. So when we focus on our attendance, when we focus on our superior knowledge, and when we focus on our supposedly superior moral lifestyle to others, we find ourselves in this dangerous category of thinking that we're better than others. But what Jesus is teaching, and make no mistake that Jesus is clearly teaching people who view themselves as superior to others, we can tell that by the way he shows up at this Pharisee's house and he himself takes the initiative to solve some of these problems. He creates an incident by asking them to tell him how to understand the law. You notice what he asks there in verse 3? Jesus asks, look who he asks. He doesn't just ask the dinner guest this. He asks the Pharisees and the experts in the law. The experts. He asks them. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And these experts, they're so good. Look how they answer them. They don't. They remain silent. He asked them a question. You tell me what the law says. And they can't tell him. They won't tell him. And so he goes on. And you know, I was kind of joking at the top when I said he insults dinner guests. Then he insults the hosts. But what he's doing is he's calling attention to those hypocrites among them who are doing these sorts of things. And what he's saying is, you ought not look at yourself as better than others. What he's trying to encourage them is, as he teaches over and over about the kingdom of God, he is teaching them that we need to live by kingdom values now so that we will inherit the kingdom of God later. You see that? Live by kingdom values now to inherit the kingdom later. And that's what he's getting at. These are some of the kingdom values that he's always talking about, that Jesus teaches over and over again. Paul, the rest of the apostles teach these sorts of things over and over again. Hope, faith, peace, love, belief, and so on. These are listed over and over and over again because they are the foundational aspects of our faith. That, you know, if we start cultivating love, faith, hope in our lives, we will find ourselves living out love, faith, hope, peace in our lives. We will live out these kingdom values if we will focus on them. But if we focus our time and energy on trying to understand the most arcane doctrines ever so that we can argue with some Presbyterian somewhere about the finest point of 17th century salvation doctrine or something, we're wasting our time. if we spend our time trying to learn some set of parameters over here so that we can go next door to some other church and start bashing them for not doing what we think they ought to be doing, we're wasting our time and our energy over there. What we ought to be doing is focusing on these kingdom values and then living those out and letting people see the life of Jesus emerging from within us and let that change them. Not your ability to persuade them on some minute point of something that they don't even really care about until you brought it to their attention. Rather, live out the values of the kingdom of God now. And as you live those values now, you will inherit the kingdom of God later. And so we can be like Jesus, for example, and we can serve others with compassion. That's the very first thing that Jesus does in this section here. He helped a man up. This man, if we look at this, my Bible says, today's New International Version says, the man was suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus knew he was being watched. He asked this question about the law. They remained silent. So what does Jesus do? He goes to the man. He takes hold of the man and he heals him. He didn't even have to ask this man, do you want me to heal you? Can I heal you? Do you have enough faith? Do I think you're worthy of it? He took initiative to have compassion. And he asked this, sure, he asked this question, is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? But really, did the answer to that question matter? Because he was going to do this anyway, right? Because he established, we saw last week, he established that to do what's compassionate and to do what's just is always right. Like we looked at this last week, should we observe or follow a rule first? Or should we be compassionate and just first? And what Jesus taught us last time from chapter 13 in Luke is we ought to always be compassionate and promote justice first, even if it gets in the way of the rules. And so here, he's asking them, do you want to clarify this rule for me? But he's going to heal this guy anyway. He takes the initiative. He goes to the man, he touches the man, and he heals the man. So Jesus, first and foremost, serves with compassion. For us to live this kingdom value, we can take initiative to meet people where they are and to serve the needs that exist when we meet them where they are. Because notice also that Jesus did not require this man to come to him. I don't know how this man ended up being at the Pharisees' dinner party in the first place. Now I can guess how he ended up being there. You ever see people that use other people as props to make their own point? And you notice how in this passage, Luke's very clear to tell us Jesus was being carefully watched. So maybe you bring in this sick guy and you plant him at the same table Jesus is at just to see what's going to happen. If that's right, what a disgusting way to treat people, right? I hope that none of us will ever treat people like that because that's disgraceful. It's ungodly. And these are experts in the law potentially doing this sort of thing. And that's why we learn from Jesus how to behave towards people, to serve them with compassion, to take the initiative, to go and serve the needs that they have. He met this man where this man was at. He didn't ask him for a statement of faith. He didn't ask him what he believed. The man needed healing. Jesus went to him and gave him healing. We can do the same when we act compassionately towards people, when we look for them where they are and try to serve the needs that they have when we discover them. Jesus also taught that we ought to serve others in humility. This is the point that he was teaching to these dinner guests. Again, if we look at verses 7 through 11, he noticed, Jesus looks around, it doesn't take long to find out who the people are that are most self-important. They're not only the ones that took the premium seats at the dinner party, but they're the ones who called over the waiter first to make sure that they got served first. And I'm sure they had good reasons. I got to eat first because my blood sugar is going to get low. Or, you know, there's always a reason. And sometimes you got a real reason, but for a lot of people, they make up things to feel more important about themselves. And so Jesus looks around, and the tables over here are the tables closest to the guest of honor and in his house and to his table. And guess what? They're all full over there, and there's a few tables here, including the guy with the abnormal swelling. He's sitting by himself until Jesus shows up, and they said, we kind of stuffed you in the back here. We're running short on room. But Jesus teaches these people, you need to serve others with humility. Not pride of place, not self-importance. Now it's interesting, if you look at verses 7 through 11, you might think that Jesus is just teaching something simple here about social custom, right? About this idea that that when you go to someone else's house, you should be humble about it, not be self-important. But he tells this as a parable. He's making a universal point here, and this is where I got the idea, my main idea about the live the kingdom values now to inherit the kingdom later, because of how he ends in verse 11. Verse 11 here is the key to this entire section as we're looking at it. He says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is not the way it is in society. We know that, right? You humble yourself in society, and what happens to you? You get walked all over, right? No one's following up behind saying, "Wow, this he humbled himself here, and I'm going to exalt him." Jesus is saying, this is the way it is in the kingdom. And in the kingdom, you humble yourself now, and maybe you still get walked over, but guess what? There comes a point, there comes a time, there comes a day when all those who humble themselves in order to serve others will be exalted. And who's going to do the exalting? God will be doing the exalting. Because whose kingdom is it? It is God's kingdom. So you humble yourself now. And when we start looking at it like that, this takes on a whole lot of different applications. If you go to somebody else's house, you come to the potluck today, and you take the table closest to the dessert table because you want to make sure nobody else hoards in on the choice desserts there, there may be an issue. You know what I'm saying? First in line to the potluck, there could be a problem. I'm not saying there is. Please, I'm joking around a little bit. But what I'm saying is we're only going to understand this if we're willing to look at our own attitude. Because in my experience, I often think I'm more humble than maybe I really am. I suspect it's probably the same for you. Because we want to feel like we're doing the right things, don't we? We don't want to feel like I'm just a bad person. I'm ungodly. I don't care about spiritual things. We want to feel like we're doing the right things. And so sometimes we tend to overestimate where we're really at. And so Jesus tells us this parable to encourage us to serve others with humility. Serve others in compassion, serve others in humility. And then the last part of this teaching that is said directly to the host himself, I see Jesus as saying, serve others in genuineness. Serve others in open hospitality. Look at what he says. He's to the host. Now guess what? Does the Bible tell us here that he said to the host, "Come over here, I want to have a word with you over here"? Does it tell us that's what happened? No. My guess is Jesus says to the host in front of the guests, and he tells him about this. And he says, when you throw a dinner party, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. Now, the dinner guests are looking all around. Guess what they have in common with this host? Their friends, their brothers or sisters, their relatives. They might be the rich neighbors. And they're looking around thinking, okay, he's talking about us and this guy. Now, the guy got one person right, correct? And who he invited? The guy with the abnormal swelling? Invited him for the wrong reason, but at least he invited someone right. But Jesus says, look, when you invite these people, they're going to invite you back, and you're going to be repaid. You just get in the cycle of, I'm going to have my friends over. I'm going to have the people I like at church best over. And then guess what? I'm going to do it, and they're going to do it next month, and then another person in the group will do it the following month. Whole bunch of people left out. Jesus says, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the blind, and you will be blessed. Why? They can't repay you. You're serving people out of genuineness. And you're serving them out of or without any regard for what you could possibly get out of it. You see where Jesus is going with all three of these? We really got to take a long, hard look at ourselves to find out how serious we are about practicing humility in our own lives. Some of this takes hard work. We like to be repaid when we do something for someone else, right? And I say that it's not necessary that happened, but sometimes you do something for someone and then you think a couple months later, I don't think they ever said thank you. And see, that's kind of what Jesus is getting at here. How do we view people? Do we do something for others to get that show of gratitude back, whether it's a word or a note or a gift or some kind of service rendered back to us? Or are we willing to simply serve people with hospitality because that's the way it is in the kingdom? How are we going to change the world? We've been talking about this. How are we going to change Jackson County? How are we going to change the city of Jackson? It's by serving people with no strings attached. My goodness. Going out to people, finding the needs that they have, and being compassionate. Serving them in absolute humility. And with open hospitality, expecting nothing in return. Sometimes the church gets a reputation for serving people, and then they serve people as long as those people will come to the church. I don't see that here. Sometimes people will say, well, we've been helping that person for quite a while, and I don't really feel like they're stepping up at the church. I don't see that here. What I see here is Jesus says, don't even be worrying about what's going on in the church, because you need to be finding people from outside the church and serving them. See, isn't that really what he's getting at here in verses 12 and 13? Who are your friends? Who are your brothers or sisters? Who are your relatives? Who are your rich neighbors? They're your church family. And Jesus says, don't worry about serving them so much, because you're just going to be worried about creating the cycle of repaying each other. But when you give a banquet, invite your neighbors, invite your co-workers, invite your non-Christian family members, invite the person down the road that has that you don't know that well, but they have a seriously ill child. Go to this area of town and find people that you can help to meet needs and serve them. That's what he's talking about. Because when you do that, you are living out the kingdom of God in your life. And the values of the kingdom of God are coming to the forefront. Not the values that say, I want something back because I gave something first. And that's what Jesus is for. We make changes in our lives by focusing first on our attitude, which requires us to pray. Then we have to cultivate humility. Starts with humility. If we don't understand our position in the church, which is simply that of being a servant of God, do you understand that? Christians are servants of God. We serve God in the same ways that Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He served only himself, right? Of course not. Jesus served others. Jesus served those that nobody else would serve. That's the way it is. Jesus served those nobody else would serve. And so he calls us to understand our role as a servant first. That takes humility. And then we serve others. And for some of us, the best people to serve might be those ones that we felt most superior to. Go and serve them. Find those people you thought you were better than and start serving them. Don't worry if they say thanks. Don't worry if you see them laughing at you after the fact. Don't worry about if they're going to come to the church. Don't worry about what they're going to do for you down the line. Just serve them. That's what Jesus is looking for. Imagine if we start doing these sorts of things. Imagine the changes that happen when we start focusing on the life that God calls us to live. Imagine what happens when 15 of us in this room today make it a goal to not do things that, so that we get paid back in any way, and we start spending 90% of our non-family people time with people that we don't know who simply need to be served. Imagine the changes in your life that happen when you do that. Imagine the changes that happen in your life when you take Jesus' call to humility, genuine service, and open hospitality seriously. You know what? You won't even notice the changes because you'll be less concerned about yourself, more concerned about others. And that's what it means to live by the kingdom values now to inherit the kingdom later. Because you will. There's no question about that. To live like you're in the kingdom now, which you already are, but to live like you're in the kingdom now will guarantee you that kingdom later. And that tremendous call that we read about in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be with me. And those that weren't, were not with him because they didn't serve people. They weren't compassionate. They didn't take care of those that were right in front of them that needed help. But those who were with Jesus, that he called good and faithful and welcomed into his eternity with him forever were those who served people who had needs, and they were right in front of him. And Jesus says, when you serve them, you were serving me. Let us go cultivating humility in our lives, serving others with genuineness, serving others with humility, serving others with open hospitality, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of God, as followers of Jesus, so that we can grow to become more like him and truly become a church of Christ, not by name on a board, but because people know Christ by being around us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had. I pray as we think about these lessons that Jesus taught us this morning, that you will help us to become less absorbed with ourselves and more absorbed with you and with your Son. Help us to become strong followers of Jesus. We pray in his name.